This is Bill Powers with MiningStockEducation.com offering an easy-to-understand explanation of mineral resources and reserves for mining stock investors. Clearly defined standards for defining resources and reserves have been established by the regulatory bodies to ensure that misleading, erroneous, or fraudulent information related to mineral properties is not published and promoted. The current day standards were developed in the wake of one of the biggest mining scams in history, the BRIEX fraud of 1995. BRIEX Minerals' Busang deposit in Indonesia was publicly stated as containing 200 million ounces of gold, roughly 8% of the world's reserves. Many small investors bought shares in BRIEX and were devastated when Freeport-McMoRan, a mining company and operator of one of the world's largest mines nearby, drilled right beside BRIEX's holes as a due diligence measure and found nothing. BRIEX's chief geologist was in Toronto, Canada, accepting the Prospector of the Year award at the annual Prospectors and Developers Association of Canada annual conference at the time he received the call. It turns out the drill core was salted in camp with gold panned from the nearby rivers before it was shipped to the lab for assay. The BRIEX fraud resulted in regulatory bodies developing better standards and a guiding code that has returned confidence to the junior mining sector. Two of the most prominent standards and codes for mining companies are Canada's NI 43-101 and Australia's JORC. The National Instrument 43-101, Standards of Disclosure for Mineral Projects, was created by the securities regulators in Canada in response to the BRIEX minerals fraud. Most of the world adheres to these standards, and every stock traded on the Canadian exchange must follow it. JORC, Joint Ore Reserves Committee, has a set code for the classification of mineralized ore bodies established in 1996 by the Australian Institute of Mining and Metallurgy. Australian Stock Exchange publicly traded mining companies must adhere to JORC code for reporting resources and reserves. Now let's discuss what are resources and reserves by beginning to look at the life cycle of a mine. A mineral deposit must be discovered before it can be mined, so an exploration company begins with an operating exploration thesis. They conduct various reconnaissance tests trying to look for evidence which might suggest a possible mineral deposit below. They determine where to start drilling, and the drill core is the hard evidence of whether there is a mineral deposit below or not. Assuming the drill core contains sufficient mineralization, the company will continue drilling. The more drill holes there are, the more certain the company will be regarding the mineral deposit below. Drilling to discover a mineral deposit could be likened to this illustration of numerous blindfolded people, each touching a different part of the elephant. If each person is a drill hole, and the elephant is the mineral deposit, it can be seen that one person's attempted description of the part of the elephant they are touching is correct, yet incomplete. But when you collect all the information and descriptions, you begin to get a better picture of the shape and size of the elephant. So it is with drilling for a mineral resource. The more drill holes drilled yields a more accurate picture of the deposit below. As the company continues to drill, they become more certain of the size and grade of the deposit and whether they will be able to make a profit mining it. They conduct two landmark studies along the way, a pre-feasibility study and a feasibility study. These studies are not to simply figure out if the mineral deposit exists, but rather to determine if the company can make money mining the deposit that they have discovered. The studies deal with the question, is there a legitimate profit potential with this deposit? When a company releases its drill results to the public, they release the results of each drill hole, which contains the length of mineralization and the grade of mineralization. As the number of drill holes increases, the company takes the evidence of the drill results and puts together a computer-generated 3D model of the mineral deposit. Before resource and reserves could be made public, a qualified person, according to NI 43-101 standards, must certify all resource and reserves and prepare public mining project disclosures. A qualified person is defined as a competent engineer or geoscientist with a university degree, a member in good standing of an approved professional association, and someone that has at least 5 years of relevant experience in the estimation of the style of mineralization being examined. NI 43-101 spells out 5 confidence levels for mineral deposits: inferred resource, indicated resource, measured resource, probable reserve, proven reserve. A resource is a deposit that investors can rely on and that has reasonable prospects for economic extraction, but whose economic viability has not been proven. There are three subdivisions of resources. An inferred resource is least reliable, based on widely spaced drill holes, and has insufficient data to confirm continuity of the underground resource. An indicated resource has a reasonable confidence level, significant amount of drilling done, and some presumed mineralized zones that are not fully tested yet. A measured resource has a high level of confidence, closely spaced drill holes, and sufficient data to confirm continuity of mineralization. As the resource classification moves from inferred to indicated to measured, there is an increasing level of geological knowledge and confidence. The ultimate goal of a mining company is for a resource to become a reserve. Resources become reserves if it is determined they can currently be mined at a profit. A reserve, therefore, is the currently economical, mineable portion of the resource. This proving of what portion of the resource constitutes a reserve is done through the pre-feasibility and feasibility studies conducted by the company. A resource minimally needs a pre-feasibility study before it can be classified as a reserve. The studies act as a filter and put parameters around the mining of the resource and consider issues regarding mining, processing, metallurgy, infrastructure, economic, marketing, legal, environmental, social, and governmental. This filters out some of the resource because when all these factors are considered, not all of the resource will be economically mineable. Only indicated and measured resources can potentially become reserves. The confidence level in inferred resources is too low to be able to convert them directly to reserves. Inferred resources must become at least indicated resources before they can become reserves. Probable reserves are the economically mineable portion of the indicated and measured resources, so the confidence level is the same as that defined for the indicated or measured categories. Proven reserves are the economically mineable portion of the measured resource. Proven reserves are more certain than probable reserves, and the confidence level is similar to that defined for the measured category. Looking at this depiction of a mining company's resources and reserves underground, of all the discovered mineralization, so far, only the probable and proven reserves have been demonstrated to be currently economically mineable. This is represented by the red dashed line. Notice that the measured resource and proven reserve have more drill holes and more closely spaced drill holes than that of the resource reserve categories with lesser confidence. It is possible that the inferred portion of the resource could eventually become a reserve, but that will first require more drilling and studies. One last thing should be noted, and that is that reserves can fall back into the resource categorization. This is because of all the modifying factors that are applied to the resource as a filter, and specifically the question of, is the resource economically mineable currently? What was once economically mineable may no longer be so if circumstances change. For example, if a gold mining company has proven reserves and their all-in sustaining cost to mine each ounce of gold is $850 an ounce, but the price of gold drops below $850 an ounce, then none of their resource in the ground is economically mineable anymore. When some of the company's resources were upgraded to reserve status, the study assumed an above $850 per ounce market price. Therefore, at the current below $850 an ounce gold price, the company no longer has any reserves because a reserve is the portion of the resource that can currently be mined for a profit. Now that you understand the difference between a resource and reserves, you are better equipped to correctly value a mining company. Much success to you in your investing endeavors. Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at miningstockeducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on miningstockeducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.